Hello, everybody. I'm Lou Dobbs, and welcome to the Great America Show. We're just over 6 months from the midterm elections. November 8th is Election Day, or in quite a number of states, the main event date. Republicans aren't quick learners, it seems, at least the ones at the Republican National Committee. Great work, RNC. The optimists in the GOP are talking about a wave election, a landslide of epic dimensions, taking somewhere between 30 to 70 seats in the House, as many as 4 to 7 seats in the Senate. Realists are talking about unreal expectations and the danger that that might create for Republicans if they're too confident, if they're less motivated to get to the polls. So there you are. And then there's real life. White House politics and the spectacle of a puppet president doing the bidding daily of his Marxist leftist masters who pull the strings of not only Biden, but all of those around him. A scary moment for the Biden management crew, though. One of their puppets got wildly out of control the other day. Dr. Tony Fauci, or as we like to call him here on the Great America Show, Dr. Fauci, also known as Mr. Science. He actually declared the pandemic over in America. Great news from the little fella who's normally cautioning us about impending doom and gloom. So his sunny pronouncement of the end of America's pandemic brought joy to our hearts. And panic then raced through the entire White House. Their re-election strategy depends, of course, almost totally on keeping those thousands of ballot drop boxes on the streets of Democrat strongholds and unsuspecting cities and towns all across America, and have months to flood voters with millions of blank votes by mail ballots. Sweet. You can imagine the fear on the faces of the Marxist tools in the Biden White House. With the end of the pandemic, there would be no drop boxes, no piles of ballots waiting for the traffickers to stuff those drop boxes, and changing the voting period back to just one day. Now that would be a killer when you have thousands of ballots to fill out and stuff them. The Biden solution? Get Fauci to quickly change the science and admit he misspoke. That took just about a day. Mr. Science is nothing if not a political hack. And within a day, he was rolling back his statements, all of them. And within 24 hours had changed his declaration to we're not out of the pandemic yet. Maybe right after the election was his implication, saying we're in a different moment with the pandemic, just a different phase. What he wanted to say a day after declaring the pandemic ended was something like this. The crazy China and Wuhan virus is actually raging through America now, spreading disease so fast and wildly that we'll never escape the China virus in America. That is the effect of what he did say after 24 hours. And the Republicans, as usual, can't keep up with the Marxist Dems to call out their rabid political corruption. They still don't have their own set of doctors or Mr. and Mrs. Scientists to balance the BS of Biden radicals, including Dr. Tony Fauci. You know the Republicans have to win, but they're not very clever about counting votes, where the Dems have a gift, don't they? With us today, our guest is John McLaughlin, great Republican strategist and an A++ pollster, and he has brought with him his latest polling. And John, it's a delight to have you back here on the Great America Show. John McLaughlin, great to have you with us here on the Great America Show. You've just finished your monthly polling, and give us, if you will, your most impressive sounding as a result of that poll.
Well, I think the big indication of it, it's 1,000 likely voters. People are going to vote this November across the country. And politically, it's very good for the Republicans, very good for even President Trump looking to 2024. But it's not good for the country in that 2/3 of the voters still think we're on the wrong track, 64% to only 32% right direction. And, you know, you had a number come out on the quarter that the economy is not growing anymore. It's shrinking, actually.
Right.
And 52% of all voters think that the country's in a recession, and they think that the economy is getting worse, not better. 67% worse to only 25% better. And Joe Biden, for the fourth month in a row, only has a 41% job approval and a 57% disapproval. Now, this is 1,000 likely voters, and it's modeled after the last presidential election. So 51% of these voters had voted for Biden in 2020. And the Democrats outnumber the Republicans by a point. And so you've got a situation here where it's quite bad for the Democrats in that, and quite bad for Biden in that they're upside down and there is a Democrat floor right now. But you wonder if he can crack that floor, because his numbers historically, they over the past year where he flipped, they were getting worse as the year went on, but it flipped with the surrender of Afghanistan. Right. And you wonder now with the Russian war that Putin is threatening NATO countries now. He's cutting off the gas to Poland. He's cutting off the gas to Bulgaria. He's intimidating NATO countries not to send weapons to Ukraine. He's threatening military action against NATO nations. If Joe Biden does not back up NATO, you could see him even, you know, his low approval ratings get even lower, because, you know, you look at the border in the United States, you look at crime across the United States, there's a state of insecurity. You look at the economy where people are worried about the price of essential items like food and gas every day. And you know, although the Democrats think there's a floor here that Biden can get better and he can't get worse, he can get worse. Right. And it could be historically worse. It's really bad for the country.
You know, you make a very interesting point on the role of the Afghan debacle as he tried to get out of Kabul far too quickly and too recklessly and ignored thousands of Americans that he left behind. That's all on him. That can't change. It's indelible, I believe, at least in the voters' minds. We have a couple of potential Afghanistan possibilities that are looming. One is Title IV is lifted, then as many as anywhere between 5 and 7 million illegals could come into the country. It's a very disturbing possibility, I would think, for Biden, but it's a more disturbing possibility for the country.
Yes, and it's fueling. And what's amazing is the human trafficking, the drug smuggling, the record number of fentanyl deaths in the country. The cartels are making a fortune, and voters who are going to go to the polls this year in Texas, Arizona, even New Mexico, as well as California, they're being invaded. It's not just when you read public opinion polls in those states, it's not just a feeling of crimes going up or there's illegal immigration at the border. No, this is an invasion. And it's not just, people who are coming here, like the Biden administration would say, well, they're coming here for a better life, economic opportunity. No, there's people that are coming in from other countries that there's terrorists among them. There's people that want to do us harm. There's gang members, there's cartel members. I mean, this is an invasion of bad people. There may be a lot of good people that are looking to escape where they've come from and go and try to find economic opportunity, but they're not doing it properly. They're not being vetted. And as you said, if they repeal Title 42, it's, you know, really bad for this country. And the voters are going to take action. I'm always forthright, and I'm working for Jim Lehman, who's running for Senate in Arizona. And he's the front runner now in the Republican primary, precisely because he's taken such a strong stand on immigration. And he's been endorsed by Brandon Judd from the Border Patrol and Tom Holman.
The Border Patrol Union, right?
Yes, yes. And their union has endorsed him. And, he's a strong Trump supporter. He's been very adamant that they've got to build the wall again. But there's actions that the Governor Abbott, he's putting his National guard on the border, and it's already cost him one guardsman's life who had to jump into the Rio Grande to try to save some people's lives, and the poor man drowned, and it's going to get worse.
And the people he was trying to save turned out were drug dealers. There's just one tragedy after another on that border, because it's corrupt on both sides of that river, on both sides of that border. And the political parties in this country won't come to terms with it. The Republicans, for whatever reason, are afraid to say what this is, that Biden, his administration, is Marxist without any question. Whatever they're supporting, CRT, the Black Lives Matter, these organizations and this philosophy and ideology that's being peddled is Marxist. They're trying to destroy institutions. They're trying. They're as anti-America as we have seen in any moment in this country's modern history.
Absolutely. I have to agree with that, because when you look at, you know, they're trying to, you know, their promotion of trying to orient, you know, they're trying to groom young children about transgenderism, et cetera. I mean, there's no sense for that, except like with Black Lives Matter, that their leadership is a good aspiration, but their leadership will tell you on their webpage right off the bat that they don't want to have the nuclear family anymore because they are Marxists. Right. And this open borders thing, it's all about, you know, breaking down our border, breaking down our sense of nationalism. And, you know, I mean, they're going after American institutions, whether it's the family, whether it's the military, whether it's, you know, law enforcement. You know, Americans have had it. And basically, I mean, like when we were talking about this poll, the Republicans are ahead 48-43. They should be winning even more in the generic ballot for Congress. You know, Donald Trump, if the election was held today, Trump would beat Biden decisively. It wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be close, where he'd win 50-43. He beats Kamala Harris 51-41. She's upside down. She's only 38 favorable, 54 unfavorable. We tested Pete Buttigieg. He would beat Buttigieg 49-39. The Democrats are really, they're leaderless, and their policies are just taking the country under, and they're going to take them under as a political party, that the Republicans, if they stand for the right things like securing the border, again, getting rid of cashless bail, putting criminals, who, particularly those who commit crimes, whether they're guns, drug dealers, or whatever gangs, they need to be in jail, not on the streets, not re-released. And nationally, militarily, you know, America has to be, if not respected, they have to be feared in the world, where if you want to threaten us or our allies, you know, you're going to have a strong American military tell you no, whether you're Vladimir Putin or whether you're, you know, Iran. They want to get nuclear weapons again. I mean, Joe Biden and his administration are just doing unbelievable damage to the country right now.
I can't think. And John, I'm anxious to answer you this question. Can you think of any single major issue, and by major, that is top of mind and in most citizens' view, on any issue, this administration isn't doing the exact opposite of what would be expected of an American president? Every single issue he's dealing with and his policy on that issue seems to be aimed at destruction.
Right.
I can't
think of one where he deserves bipartisan support. I mean, it's just, they've taken every good intention, whether it's infrastructure, and turned it into some sort of social welfare program that has nothing to do with infrastructure. And that was one thing where he might have been able to do something good on, and fortunately Joe Manchin and some Democrats stood up to him on that, but you know, I can't think of anything. And what you have to look at is the corruption, because, you know, in this poll, 60% of all voters think Biden should take a cognitive test and make it public.
Right.
So they're worried about his cognitive ability. But on the other hand, underneath it is the corruption, where when you wonder about, I've read recently, and the House Republicans have asked for an explanation, where the sanctions against the Russian oligarchs and Putin supporters, they don't sanction the former mayor of Moscow's wife who had Hunter Biden on the payroll. Mm-hmm. And now you're seeing, you know, when the New York Times and the Washington Post acknowledge, oh, gee, that laptop did exist. And there is bad stuff on it. It's incriminating. You know, when they start doing that, you're seeing signs that it's cracking inside the Democrat Party, that corruption is really costing us. It's costing us a lot economically, a lot morally, a lot culturally, where you wonder if this is really the Manchurian candidate, where they do have him compromised in such a way that, you know, he's letting China advance its goals in the United States. They're still spying on the United States. They'll steal that technology whenever they can. They'll aid and abet big tech when they want to silence conservatives. And you wonder about how deep the corruption is, because they've compromised not just Hunter Biden, but the Biden family and the president himself.
And then you have a situation in which, after basically being ignored by the national left-wing corporate media for 4 years, we learned that there has been a tax evasion grand jury working on Hunter Biden. 4 years, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware, and they still haven't come up with a charge, and they haven't. I've never heard of a grand jury being in session for 4 years on one charge, and I don't care who the public figure is. This is just obvious, rampant, rancid political corruption.
Yeah, and you wonder how deep it is inside the FBI. And you wonder about Merrick Garland, the attorney general. At some point, that U.S. attorney in Delaware that they've allowed to remain there, if he's going to make an indictment, he has to go to the attorney general and tell him he's going to indict the president's son or the president's family or make charges that involve the president. He has to go tell Merrick Garland. And I just don't see Merrick Garland going to the president saying, we're going to indict your son or your family or make charges that you would be involved in, without the Biden corruption extending through Garland to the Department of Justice and the FBI, where the Biden tells him, no, you're not going to do that. And you wonder, because they've been able to suppress this criminal investigation, you know, since the election. And it was political interference by the media that they wouldn't cover this, that big tech censored even the New York Post, the oldest newspaper in the country, founded by, you know, Alexander Hamilton, at a time when we did have freedom of press and it was a virtue that we advocated in the Bill of Rights. And they basically, big tech censored them. And they banned them. And we found in a poll that we did for Brent Bozell's Media Research Center, a post-election poll in 2020, in November, 36% of all Biden voters were not aware about the scandal with Hunter Biden's laptop and the corruption charges. And if they had been aware, 13% of all Biden voters would have changed their vote, which easily would have allowed Trump to win the election. Yeah. And so you wonder if, you know, that kind of corruption is going to continue to extend into the FBI and the Justice Department and allow them to get away. I mean,
we really now know, John, just how corrupt the FBI is. Every part of it, everyone there bears great responsibility, because people had a responsibility to step forward and talk about the phony dossier, the phony nonsense that was going on with Michael Sussman, going into the Justice Department to start laying down a predicate for a special counsel. The FISA courts, the whole shooting match is corrupt. We have a huge problem that no one wants to talk about. And by the way, I'm averse to talking about it, because I get angry, I get frustrated, because I know there's not a single person in the United States Congress or Senate that's going to do anything about it, and certainly not the White House. But the FBI and the Justice Department have to be cleaned up. The FBI knew about Hunter's laptop. The Attorney General of the United States, His Holiness and Nobility, William Barr, who's is doing everything again, but being an utter snit about the fact he wouldn't intervene in a presidential election because that would be intervention on his part. And he knew that Biden was lying. He knew about Hunter Biden's laptop, the investigation, the whole rancid mess. And he would not speak up and thereby gave the election to a corrupt, clearly corrupt Biden crime family. It's just stunning what we've got. And he not only put his finger on the scales, he spun history in a whole new direction and has created, I think he's responsible for the creation of much of the mess that the Marxist Biden enterprise has delivered to America.
And you have to wonder about, you know, the rank and file members, I think, of the FBI are very good people. You know, when you saw what was going on in 2020 during the during the riots and the assault on the White House and those poor Secret Service people with other federal agents trying to secure the White House against the protests, where they were burning and, you know, injuring a lot of good FBI and Secret Service people. And you wonder, those rank and file, you have to wonder how they must resent the corruption and they must know that it's going on. And, during Watergate, those of us who follow the news, we always followed the reports of Deep Throat. And you wonder if there's a Deep Throat.
There isn't. That's the whole point.
There should be.
Well, of course they should have been. But not one whistleblower has stepped forward from the FBI. Not a single one from the Justice Department. They are witness to historical levels of corruption and the most evil plot against a president in our country's history outside of Abraham Lincoln. This is an appalling moment. And I know that you're empathetic. And so am I with those who put their lives on the line. But, you know, those are a rare few. Point of fact, the Secret Service has covered up for the Biden family for decades. They did it with Hunter Biden's laptop.
You have a point.
I mean, I can't find it. I'd love to be able to say to you, they're pure of heart and noble of purpose and defend the country. I don't know a damn thing about what the FBI has done to protect this nation. Let's just leave it within the last decade. What did they do? What have they done with that budget? Who have they prosecuted? They love to prosecute and entrap conservatives and Republicans and patriots, as they did the four men up in Michigan. The judge couldn't even stomach what the FBI was trying. They threw in the heavyweights from the Justice Department, trying to entrap and to convict these poor guys who were led along by informants and placed agents to manipulate the whole scenario. It was sickening to see what the government was doing there.
Well, I would agree with you at the top, but I absolutely, there's been heroes inside the FBI and law enforcement at the rank and file level that are doing great work against terrorism and some other things. But we got the one thing we absolutely agree on. We got to clean up this corruption. And it starts at the top with the Biden family. And if you want to look for an explanation, you know, it's not the Easter rabbit debacle giving Joe Biden orders or the people around him that you wonder about his cognitive ability. I think the absolute problem here is the corruption, and it's starting to come out now. And hopefully people in law enforcement, in the Justice Department, in the FBI, those career people will want to get rid of it. So that I think it's going to be a big factor in this election in November and probably the next presidential election, that we do get a nonpartisan law and order, you know, follow the rules, uncorrupt leadership at the FBI and the Justice Department, and let them go after the lawbreakers as best they see. And by the way, look at New York State, the U.S. Attorney and the Justice Department, and the FBI, they arrested the lieutenant governor in New York State. The sitting lieutenant governor was arrested for basically corruption, where he was steering grants towards his donors. And Governor Hochul, you know, she's got him on the ticket, you know, and she knew exactly who she was doing. And you look at New York State, like, a full disclosure, I work for Lee Zeldin. Lee Zeldin's in a close race with Kathy Hochul right now. But Governor Hochul is just extending the corruption that we saw go on from, like, Elliot Spitzer through to Andrew Cuomo through to her administration, where we've got to clean, you know, if you want an honest government, we've got to clean these people out.
Would you start with Andrew Cuomo, in terms of the corruption in New York State? You're missing a few decades of corruption to begin with. New York is appalling, and they're an unchallenged party. The Democrats are corrupt, and that's true. Whatever you see, power like that vested for so long, entrenched for so long, they're going to do what is human nature, and they're going to do so wantonly. Let me ask you a couple of questions. And by the way, let me tell you about a couple of the great things that they've done about terrorism in the FBI. They've designated parents who are raising their voices in a school board meeting as domestic terrorists. That's one of the group of terrorists that they've been very effective with. And the other part of this issue is, I want to believe that the FBI agents are great people. I really do. I want to believe that of everyone in law enforcement. But I don't see it. I don't see them standing up for what is right in this country. And they're not alone. I mean, we've got a corruption problem that extends across this country. From the border, which is absolutely corrupt, to Washington, D.C., which is a swamp and which it's suffocating the corruption there, as you well know. I want to get back to the election just very quickly. And that is, the president, if he runs now, he wins. DeSantis is doing a lot of great things. How much of a threat is he in terms of the support in the public's mind as you do polling?
Well, if he's the governor of Florida, so he's known in Florida. He's not known. You got to realize, a lot of the media across the country is not covering a lot of what he's doing policy wise, and he's got to get reelected as the governor of Florida. I mean, right now, when you look at Republican primary voters across the country, they're really focused on the buyer's remorse with Donald Trump. They, you know, right now, Republican primary voters, 69% want Trump to run again. If he runs again, they would support him 83-14. These are unbelievable numbers. These are stronger than Reagan ever had. And if he's in a field of like 13, 14 candidates, Trump's getting 57% of the vote, and DeSantis is running at like 13%, and Pence is at 9%. And then the rest are all in single digits. So right now, because Joe Biden is so bad, the buyer's remorse that we said would happen for Donald Trump has happened far sooner and earlier than we ever expected. And there is a yearning to go back to, hey, Donald Trump, you may not have liked his style, you may not have liked his tweets, but on the other hand, you liked his policies. The economy was growing. We were creating jobs. He created the vaccines that allowed us to get out of the pandemic. I mean, he was a bull in the China shop in a lot of ways. And there's people here that if he's beating Joe Biden,
I was also part of his charm, John. I think a lot of people loved having that bull in that China shop.
You and I loved it, but there's a lot of people that didn't, and they watched that. They used to watch CNN. They don't even watch it anymore. They're going under. But when you look at it, there were a lot of people that were put off by his style, because he was a businessman. He was straightforward. He was very blunt at times. He's from New York. People were put off by that style, and they mixed style up with substance. And now they're like, we don't care. We want him back. And he, like I said to you, he's beating Joe Biden 50-43. A quarter of Joe Biden's supporters are disapprove of the job he's doing, and a good number of them now would vote for Trump. So, there's a, it was only a little while ago, but there's a, a big nostalgic boom for President Trump to save our country right now, because the kind of problems that we've had in terms of the economy, security, our culture, we didn't have these a couple of years ago. We had a pandemic. We had urban riots. We had the economy was shut off, and there was concern that we'd go into a depression. But we got through all those things, and thanks to President Trump, and Joe Biden squandered it all. So,
we had a clear indication. That summer of riots and arson and protests and mayhem was organized by the Marxist left in this country. It went for 5 months, and it was dutifully shut down after the election was safely in the bag. And it's just transparent. And then there were no prosecutions from the Democratic Party, the George Soros district attorneys, the attorneys general who are themselves, just part of the Marxist left cabal within the Democratic Party, the leadership. I want to get a sense from you. You mentioned this earlier, but what is this new fixation, this new focus on transgender? But you mentioned DeSantis. There's a clear divide in the country. Liberals, left wingers talk about don't say gay, referring to the parental rights law in Florida that created such a firestorm down there. And conservatives refer to it as parental rights. I don't understand, and you've got the best sense of what's going on in this body politic. Are there really so many transgenders? Are there so many transsexuals in this country that this is now is there an enlarged fixture within our body politic of these people? Because I just don't understand the sudden, they've just sort of burst upon the scene here.
Well, actually, no, but it's this woke culture where, they're trying to describe us as bigots and intolerant. And the reality of this is that they're creepy. I mean, the idea that that you want to tell kids in kindergarten about gender orientation. They're not thinking about sex and stuff like that. I mean, these are young kids who need to, they lost a year of education where they lost a year. They were out of schools and they need to be brought up to speed on reading, writing and math. Right. And you've got these educators who are, in this woke culture that they want to groom these kids. And it's just creepy. And the parents, like we asked a question in our January survey, should you allow biological men to compete in biological men and boys to compete in women's high school and college sports? And they're saying no. And it was 68% to 20. And there's a fairness there. And the people that are tipping the tide, because I've seen it change over the past year, is basically you're looking at these women athletes and their moms who devoted their lives to, okay, I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. every day, take my young daughter swimming, or we're going to do lacrosse after school, or we're going to run track, et cetera. And my daughter is going to play in high school, or she's going to then go to college and she's going to get a scholarship and she'll be successful. And they've spent, a long time dedicated to their sports. And all of a sudden their daughter's she's being cut, or she's not getting the honor she used to get because there's a biological male who is outperforming her because you have physiological advantages that the women don't have. And it's unfair. And the moms of these women athletes, although a lot of the women athletes are afraid to speak out because, they'll be punished by woke, administrators, et cetera. But the moms aren't, and the moms are speaking out and they're saying, it's not fair to our daughters. And you have like college sports and high school sports for women are being threatened by this, because if you don't have these gender restrictions based on biology, women's sports are going to lose. They'll disappear.
Yeah, and we have to be very clear. The NCAA has given all of this energy to the transsexuals, transgender competing, particularly males in female sports. I mean, they're destroying Title IX, the whole purpose of Title IX. And yes. The left is the most confused bunch of people in this country. They are at once the most hateful and at the same time the most confused and destructive in their conflicts, because this is not fair on its face. And we've got people so scared of the woke culture, they won't say what is as clear as the and plain as the nose on their faces. You talk about the woke culture. It's like everything else in our society right now that's sort of upside down. These people are mentally slumbering through life, and they're not awake at all. So I hate that expression, woke culture. They're for the most part in a completely confused, completely unaware and indifferent to the rights that are fundamental under our Constitution and the NCAA, you know, damn them. They should never, ever have taken a position like they did. It's to me, it's insufferable and destructive of the very sports that they should be guarding with their very organization.
Right. And they should protect those athletes, and it will work out. And but you're seeing a groundswell across the country where all of a sudden Disney stock is way down and Elon Musk is taking over Twitter to restore free speech. I mean, the American
people, amen, brother. Amen. Go Elon.
Right. Exactly. So the American people and those smart leaders who are in tune with the American people are going to lead us on a comeback. And yeah. Who knows? November 24, we may see 45 become 47 again, and we'll have won our third presidential race.
Yeah, so. I think so. I do worry about the president doing these endorsements of primary candidates. He's made a couple of choices I disagree with. I think, and I know that, for example, are you doing polling for anybody or strategy in the state of Ohio?
No, right now I don't have. I try to do what I do well. I don't want to spread myself too thin. I can't take on too many races.
Well, good for you, because that's quite a race, as you know. J.D. Yeah. Vance, the president's endorsed candidate. I mean, over half of the RNC delegates from Ohio begged the president not to do this. David McIntosh, the head of the Club for Growth, who I'm indifferent about, but he begged the president not to do this, endorse Vance. And Josh Mandel, who seems to be a very popular candidate there and an America First candidate. What in the world is a president thinking about getting in there and upsetting? He's the populist president, and he just told the people of Ohio, go to hell.
Well, the president had his reasons to endorse J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance, by the way, I don't know him personally. Mm-hmm. I have friends who certainly like Josh, who certainly like some of the other candidates there. And but, you know, J.D. Vance, I read his book years ago about Hillbilly Elegy, and I thought there was a lot of valid points in it, and about culture in the United States and where it was going. And he was a Marine that served in Iraq, and he did go from nowhere to basically get himself through Yale, and he stayed a conservative. But the president did that for whatever his reasons are. But I will tell you where the president needs to focus is right now. You've got Lisa Murkowski running for re-election in Alaska, and she voted to impeach him. And you have Liz Cheney in Wyoming, and certainly those Republican leaders who voted to impeach him, because of whatever phony trumped up charges there were, we got to focus on those first. And some of these other races, they will, you know, I worked in 2020 at the time for Madison Cawthorn in his last election that he got reelected. I'm not working for him right now because they went in a different direction. But, you know, that was one of the races where President Trump had endorsed somebody else, and Madison was able to win, and it's through a lot of hard work and grassroots effort at the time. So we'll see what happens as the primaries evolve. But does he have it up?
I haven't heard anything about Lisa McCaskey. I haven't heard anything about those people who impeach. He's going after Cheney. She's raising more money, I think, than their opposition. And that's the other crazy thing about this. He is sitting there supporting a candidate who basically opposed his views on the environment, opposed his judgments on free trade. He said, for example, trade deals with China won't solve problems. I'm going through this. I'm scratching my head and I'm wondering what in the world happened to the populist Donald Trump that I know and respect and admire so much, because this is a nutty deal in Ohio. A populist doesn't sit there and shove a candidate down the throats of the people of Ohio. It's dumb politics and it could cost him.
Well, like I said to you, I'm not involved in the Ohio race.
That's why I'm asking this. You've got an objective view.
I'm not involved in that. So it's like, what I can tell you is that in Alaska, he has endorsed Kelly Schiavacca against Murkowski. He has endorsed Harriet Hegman in Wyoming against Liz Cheney. And I'm not involved in their direct campaigns. But I think that's where the focus should be, as those Republicans who are within our camp, who basically have turned on our Republican president, sided with Nancy Pelosi and sided with these DC insiders. That, to me, that's the priority. And I do look at candidates where he hasn't made an endorsement in the Arizona Senate race. And I'm looking at somebody like Jim Layman, who I work for, has been endorsed by the Border Patrol Union. He's been endorsed by people that know what's going on in Arizona. And he stands for all the America First policies and that the president.
Just like Josh Mandel.
Right. So it's like, Lou, you know, he should have called you.
he shouldn't have called me. He doesn't need my approval, but I, at the same time, don't suspend my brain because somebody goes off the deep end on something. And this is bad politics. This president, I admire every one of his policies. His politics sometimes and choice of people, it just leaves me scratching my head. And if he likes that, great. If he doesn't like it, great. We're friends. He knows that. And he knows I'm not a fellow that's going to sit here and, talk nonsense about it. I just got to give you this last thing. Would you endorse I'll put you on the spot, John. You don't have to stay on the spot. He called Trump America's Hitler. He described Trump as another opiate. I mean, are you kidding me? What in the world is going on there? I just saw enough of that during his presidency. And by the way, the Club for Growth and David McIntosh, that is a rhino organization. Would you agree, Club for Growth?
Well, actually, when David was in Congress, I did his polling. And it did his first race in 94. So the Club for Growth, when they started, that was a way to, primary Republicans who supported tax increases.
Yeah.
But now there's definitely people in the organization who are never Trumpers who just want to stop President Trump because whatever reason.
So I don't blame Trump for being too thrilled about McIntosh, but that doesn't explain Stephen Moore and Larry Kudlow, who are part of the Club for Growth, who are absolute rhinos that he embraced like the Dickens, it's unbelievable.
By the way, give Larry and Steve their credit that the Trump tax cut plan, they designed it and that worked. And
don't get me started, John. You don't want to be talking to me about tax cuts. That tax cut looked a lot like something Mitch McConnell might have come up with.
He wouldn't. But that tax cut created jobs, and it did get the economy growing again. So that's just facts. But
yeah,
it's been a long time since then. By the way, Biden, the tax cut worked because Biden and the Democrats want to repeal it and go back to raising taxes.
Yeah, so, I'm an old fashioned. I like targeted tax cuts where, populists create big tax cuts for individuals. And we saw way too much nonsense. I mean, that thing turned over. I mean, think about it. reducing the effective tax rate for the lowest effective tax rate in the industrial world. The United States already had that. People kept talking about the tax rate, but the effective tax rate on corporate America was already low. And where we need tax cuts are for the middle class in this country. And that, well, by the way, it's a good thing I wasn't a Democrat, because I would have had a lot of fun with that. But anyway, and I've had a lot of fun with you today, and I appreciate it as always. John, we always give our guests the last word. Have at it.
Ultimately, because if they don't rig the next election this November, we still live in a democracy. And we should be able to, through the primaries and through the general election, take back the House, take back the Senate. That has to be the focus right now, because if we don't win races this year, the country will be in big trouble. And the Democrats know they're in such trouble that they have repeatedly tried to rig elections across the country with no excuse absentees, drop boxes that are insecure, et cetera. Uh-huh. And if people haven't gone to see like Dinesh D'Souza's movie or Dave Bossi's documentary about the 2020 election.
Let me give everybody the name of the movie. Dinesh's is 2,000 Mules, and David is his terrific documentary. I just love that. Is called Rigged, and it's about the impact of Zuckerberg's money in five states and five cities in Wisconsin. It's amazing.
And we have to go see it, and because we can't let that happen again, because the damage that it's done is unbelievable to the country. So so you keep getting the truth out, and that's my emphasis on the last word.
So well, you're a great American, John. Thanks so much, and look forward to our next talk. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Lou.
God bless you. Thank you, John McLaughlin, and we look forward to our next visit as we close in on the midterm elections on or about November 8th. Tomorrow, our guest is attorney Joe McBride, defending his clients who are charged and awaiting trial. Some have been in prison for a year or more. We take up the injustice and the political exploitation engineered by the Marxist left Dems and the corrupt Justice Department and judicial system. Please join us for that. Till then, God bless you and God bless America.